This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, everybody, welcome in to the Lombardi Line on a Wednesday. The show, as always, presented by DraftKings.
Wednesday.
And we're off to a bad start. Why do I even bother saying the day when I do this to myself, Michael? It's Thursday. We got Thursday Night Football. Be better. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And this is the story of my life, Michael. I come in such well intentions every single day.
You're early today,
excited.
Too. You're early.
I know. I was ready to go, fully prepared. This is what I get. Anyways, we do have an awesome show on tap today. Like we always do on a Thursday, VSiN's own Mike Somich is going to join us coming up in about a half an hour. Professional handicapper, VSiN host of the Handle every weekend. He's going to give us his best bets for week 13 in the NFL. And Mike Palm, the final half hour of the program today, later on in hour two, VP of operations here at Circa Resort and Casino. We'll get the lowdown on all things Circa Million, Circa Survivor, things winding down, just 80 contestants left there. And of course, Palm's pressing three. But let's get into Thursday Night Football, Michael. Believe it or not, that is the day. We have the Dallas Cowboys, and they're looking to extend that 13-game home win streak against the Seattle Seahawks, and odds makers certainly seem to think that's going to be the case. They are up to a 9-point favorite now at home against Seattle.
Well, you know, and you can see why. When you go over these Dallas numbers and you look at the season and you look at what they've been able to accomplish. Now, I know this is going to surprise you because they have been so good offensively, and Kellen Moore's not calling plays. I know that we spent all offseason saying how it was going to be Mike McCarthy running the ball. It was going to be boring. You want me to go back and get all those tweets out, right? Let me give you some information here. They've scored 214 points in the first half. That's 19.4 points per game. They've allowed 8.9. Last year, the Eagles, which dominated this category and ran away from everybody, averaged 17.4 points per game and allowed 10. They're better in every area, right? They've been able to start fast, play from in front. They've been very good on first down, on third down, and they've been very good at getting that second quarter and really turning it around. They average 11.45 points in the second quarter alone, and they take control of the game. So you can see why this number has eked up a little bit, especially considering that in the last, since their bye week, they've outscored their opponents 38.6 to 17. They've been routes. So, yeah, they're playing really well. Seattle has not, because Seattle can't run the football, Stormy. Seattle is too one-dimensional. When you go study Seattle, they put too much on Geno Smith's plate. He's throwing the ball five more times per game this year than he did last year. They can't run the ball to the degree they did last year that they did last year to this year. When they gain over 100 yards, they're 4-0 on the ground. When they don't, they can't win.
And speaking to that, Kenneth Walker, their stud running back, expected to be out again today, dealing with that oblique injury. They've had their health issues up front. And Michael, we talk a lot on this program, especially recently when we're at this point in the season, about that sample size of the last 4 to 5 games or so. And these are two teams that, to your point, just seem like they're headed in different directions. Dallas has won 4 of their last 5, including 3 straight by 20 or more points. The lone loss in that time was that one score game to Philadelphia. They have 7 games this season where the margin of victory has been 20 or more points, 5 of those coming at home, which they are again here. And then Seattle in their most recent stretch, 1-3, could easily, though, be 0-4, eked out that win over the Commanders. Offense can't score more than 16 points. Seattle leads all of football as well in penalties per game over the last 3 weeks. So it seems like where you have this Dallas Cowboys team that is in their stride, they're dominating, taking on a Seattle Seahawks team that's banged up. Geno Smith, of course, dealing with an elbow issue. Pete Carroll said he's doing much, much better this week, night and day from what we saw a week ago, but still compromised. So facing that Dallas pass rush this week is going to be a little scary for him as well, if they can keep him upright or not.
Yeah, that's going to be the issue, right? And they got to be able to run the football with some level of success. They won't have Kenneth Walker. It sounds like he's not going to play. Charbonnet will play. But they got to take some of the pressure off of it. And what Dallas does such a good job of is putting pressure on the opposing offense to not run the ball, to play from behind, meaning they have to throw. And what can't be lost in this Cowboys season is Dak Prescott's play. I mean, he's played unbelievable. He has played unbelievable. He's 3.8 above in his percent of completion from last year. He's 2.2 lower in his interception percentage. He's slightly above in yards per attempt. He's thrown for 40 more yards per game this year. He already has 23 touchdown passes. He had 23 last year. So he's playing really well. When you look at his numbers, his on-target percentage, his accuracy, all have been great. And they start fast. That's been the difference. I mean, they come out and they're going to start fast. Their defense has played over 90 less plays than their offense, which is a complete game, which is exactly what McCarthy wanted to do when he took over the play calling.
Yeah, and give Mike McCarthy credit to your earlier point of how everybody wants to talk about how in Green Bay he had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks and really skated by with them. And he's a good coach. I know we've got clock management issues, but he's proving this year, I think, that he deserves a lot of credit for the success. And Dak, of those 23 touchdowns, 17 of them, Michael, have come in the last two games, five games. His touchdown interception ratio over this recent five-game stretch, 17 touchdowns, just two interceptions. He's extending plays. He's looking downfield when he's getting out of the pocket in certain situations. He's getting first downs. He's been so much fun to watch, and I mean, has put himself now in the MVP conversation as well. I think the big question about Dallas, Michael, and maybe because of the recent sample size with Seattle, we can throw this out, but everybody across every platform today is talking about, can the Dallas Cowboys beat an over 500 team? And Seattle still meets that criteria despite their recent stretch.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's, you know, Thursday night games are unpredictable. Here's what I do know is the Cowboys have not been winning because the other team has made mistakes, right? They forced five turnovers. They've committed four. So they're only plus one in the turnover takeaway. Where Dallas has done a great job is converting third downs. And then unlike last year, remember at the end of the year when they were really iffy on making field goals, making extra points, making anything with their kicker? They have not missed a kick all year. Aubrey has not missed a kick. Now, he's only attempted one kick from the 40 to the 49, but he has not missed a kick all year. And you know, when you don't turn the ball over and you don't miss field goals, you're putting points up on the board, especially considering when you're one of the best third down teams in football, and they rank number one in scoring drives. When they get the ball, they're the best team in the National Football League in terms of scoring points on a drive.
So with that thought process, any feel for the total in this game? We know primetime unders have been a huge play, but this has actually been bet up from 45.5 to now 47.5. What do you think in terms of scoring overall for both sides?
I know the unders are always going to hit. I think Seattle will move the ball. The one thing I think that's different about the Cowboys when you study them is you can move the ball. They're a little like the 49ers. You know, the 49ers have given up over 60 first downs in the last 3 weeks, but they don't let you score on them. They're very stingy scoring on them. And it's a little bit the same thing with the Cowboys. I mean, they're very good at, they'll give you the yards, but they're not going to give you any points. They're actually third in yards allowed. They're fourth in points allowed. So they're very good in that area. And I think, to me, they don't rely on turnovers. They're 12th in the league in creating turnovers. They rely on stopping the opponent. They make it very challenging for you to throw the football effectively.
In terms of the NFC playoff picture, the Dallas Cowboys are obviously in that wild card spot because the Philadelphia Eagles are as dominant as they have been at 10-1, currently in the top seed position. Dallas at 5 and Seattle there, it's in the sixth spot at 6-5. Where does Dallas stack up in your mind in that group of NFC contenders with Philadelphia and San Francisco?
I think they're right there. Look, they're 1-5. They're 1-5 at the 6 against the Eagles. They got a chance to win that game. They couldn't close it out. The difference between the two teams is one team can close it out, the other team couldn't. I mean, they outgained the Eagles tremendously. They moved the ball up and down the field in that game. I mean, they put 406 yards on them. They held Philly to under 300 yards total. And you know, they turned it over one time. They just didn't play in the red zone. They didn't score that red zone. Their 23 points is the lowest amount of points they've scored since the bye week. I mean, they came back from the bye and they've scored. Now, the last 2 weeks, you know, they've been 33-45 against bad opponents. Granted, look, they've played Washington, Carolina, and the Giants after losing the Eagles. So you know they're going to get three wins in a row, but they've been impressive. I mean, they put 640 yards up on the Giants. I mean, that's just slightly less than what the Dolphins did to the to the Denver Broncos. So what, they were 720. We're talking about 80 yards.
Seattle, meanwhile, Michael, right there on the cusp. And this week at Dallas, next week at San Francisco, then they've got the Eagles. It does lighten up the last three games of the season, but you think they find themselves on the outside looking in?
Well, look, you know, we've said this. They've got to be able to run the ball with some degree of success. They're 29th in rushing attempts. And it's not because they don't want to run the ball. It's because they can't. They've been 21st in yards per attempt. And so that becomes a real issue. That puts a lot of pressure on Geno. They really miss Walker. They really miss his ability to make people miss. Charbonnet's a good runner. But the other guy that has not played anywhere near where they need him to is DJ Metcalf. He's not having the same year he had last year. This year he's at 53% catch percentage. Last year he was at 63%. I think the injuries have affected their offense. And this offensive line, which lost two starting tackles to start the year, have a hard time. Abraham, they say, may go to tonight.
Yeah.
We're not sure. When you're starting Jason Peters, you know things are not going well at 41 years old.
And even Jason Peters had to leave the game last week dealing with a little bit of an injury as well. Seattle dropped three of their last four games. They're going to be underdogs in their next three as well. So it is not looking up right now for their playoff hopes. We're going to take a quick break here, our first timeout of the day. But when we return, there are a lot of headlines throughout the National Football League. We need to differentiate what is news and what is noise, what will impact things for us as bettors and what will not. We'll get into it in a moment. Stay with us right here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Juice Reel is a free betting intelligence app and tool that every bettor needs. Juice Reel links your betting accounts into one place, delivers in-depth analytics on your betting history, and so much more. At Juice Reel, you'll have access to the betting history of billions of other bets placed by all Juice Reel users. This in-depth betting analytics tool with billions of data points enables you to tail the winning bettors and fade the losers. Juice Reel's also developed an artificial intelligence bot using data from all Juice Reel bets. Robo Jackson is picking winners at a rate of 60% through more than 100 games. Find out for yourself, though. Download Juice Reel, juice like orange juice, Reel, R-E-E-L. Download the free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. It's free. Juice Reel, juice, R-E-E-L.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. This is noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News? Or noise.
Let's do it. And we're starting out in New England, where Bailey Zappe and Malik Cunningham took snaps in the open portion of Patriots practice yesterday, while Mac Jones stood off to the side. Michael, according to The Athletic's Jeff Howe, Zappe is expected to start this Sunday against the Chargers. And according to the Boston Herald, a source in the building told the outlet, Mac Jones is spiraling. News or noise, Michael?
I think it's news. I mean, look, they have no choice but to play Bailey, even though, as everybody said, well, how bad can Bailey be? Can he be any worse? And the answer is no, he can't be any worse. You got to play him. They can't go back to Mac. After that performance in the Meadowlands was just, it was unbearable to watch live. It was worse to watch on the tape. I think there's no choice but to do this.
A 37 total QBR, third worst in the league, 12 interceptions, third worst in the league. Patriots as a team, too, have zero passing touchdowns and five interceptions over the last two games. And Michael, it seems like Mac's just been kind of, I don't know if broken is the right word, but like a broken player. You've talked about the disdain perhaps some of his teammates have in him, don't believe in him in the moment. But Zappe, to your point, hasn't been great on the field either. But is he just somebody that maybe the guys can rally around a little bit more? Because he seems to have an attitude too.
Yeah, I think to me that it's a lesser. Right now, Mac is so broken, there's no way you can go forward with it. It's funny because I went back and watched Mac a lot yesterday in 21 and trying to figure out, like, what is going on here? Like, how this trajectory that he's been on doesn't lend itself to most careers. Usually you start bad and get better. You don't start good and get worse, right? And it isn't because, you know, he was an option quarterback and they took the option away. I mean, he's always been a pocket passer. I think the number one thing when you watch the tape from 21, where he had Josh McDaniels and he was very overcoached, if you will. I don't mean that as a negative to Josh, but I think he was overcoached. He knew what he was doing. He was confident. This year, he's not confident. He plays with no poise, and he's almost fearful of getting hit. And a lot of that happens to quarterbacks. They get hit too much, and they don't want to get hit anymore. And I think that's what we see. And the first sign of trouble, he panics. He panicked against the Giants. He's panicked against the Colts. The first sign of different colored jersey coming at him, he panics. He didn't do that. He did not do that in 21. He's doing it now, and I don't think Bill has any choice but to make the move that he had to make.
Benched in back-to-back games, four games overall this season, and it's been bad regardless, but I think amplified by the fact that the Patriots are used to having the best quarterback in the world on their side, so it is a stark contrast to that. Patriots, though, one of several teams in line for quarterback in the upcoming NFL draft. ESPN Analytics has the Patriots currently projected to the third overall pick behind the Bears and Cardinals. Huge game coming up in the NFC on Sunday, Michael. A rematch of last year's NFC Championship game between the Eagles and 49ers, and there's been some trash talk on both sides this week. Debo Samuel was asked if he regrets calling James Bradbury trash. He said he regrets nothing. Meanwhile, Hassan Reddick on the other end called out San Francisco for their what ifs. Quote, it was a lot of boo-hoos last year, a lot of crying, a lot of what ifs, a lot of this, a lot of that. They get a chance to come back here, line that bleep up and prove it again. News or noise?
No, it's news. I mean, it is news. These two teams, they know it. The Eagles don't feel they were lucky because they're the ones who got Brock Purdy hurt. And the 49ers are in that, you know, we just didn't have a chance because we lost our quarterback. And then we lost our backup quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, look, they know that the path to the Super Bowl is going to go through one of these cities, San Francisco or Philadelphia. And this will be, there will be a rematch. At some point, there's going to be another game. And it'll be good. It'll be fun to watch. The fascinating thing about this game is how do the 49ers attack this Eagle team, which we know has struggled with the secondary, has not been very good on third down, hasn't been able to cover very well. It's going to be fascinating. Most teams don't try to run the ball. Even though Buffalo ran for, I think, 170 yards against them, it was Josh Allen's 81 that made the difference. So we'll see what Kyle's got up his sleeve to keep his quarterback feeling protected. I think he'll move the ball well.
I know San Francisco's clearly motivated. This is a game that they've had circled since everything went down last year, but the Eagles probably have some bulletin board material and motivation of their own now, being the best team in the league on paper at 10-1, yet they are a 3-point dog at home against this team, people doubting them. Really, really excited for what's going to come up this Sunday in the afternoon. Speaking of Super Bowl contenders, Tyreek Hill thinks that Miami is one and actually called this year's Dolphins team better than the Chiefs team he won the Super Bowl with. He said, the way our head coach prepares us each and every week, man, it's next level. So it's a beautiful thing to see the way we practice, the way we play for one another. It's something I've never seen before in a team. I won a Super Bowl, and I feel like this is probably the better team than when we won a Super Bowl back when I was on KC. Andy Reid takes and stray bullets here. News or noise?
Well, I mean, I think it's noise because I don't think it's true. I think he kind of is saying stuff that's his opinion, and he's certainly entitled to it. I think this Chief team is nowhere near, his Miami team offensively. It seems like they're better than the Chief teams back when he played on them. I don't think that's the case. I think this Miami team, they've averaged about 20 points a game the last 5 weeks. I know they scored 31, 34 last week against the Jets, but let's be clear. That was two pick six in that game. This offense doesn't have the physicality that offense had when Tyreek won the Super Bowl in Kansas City. I will say the defense is better. Look, I think Miami has a chance to continue to grow and get into this and get into the finals, maybe even get to the Final Four. It's going to require them to play really well in bad weather, really well in cold weather, which they haven't had. We may get a little bit of rain, and there's going to be 10-mile-an-hour winds this week. We'll see how they handle that and how they play on the road. I mean, they have not been a great road team, Stormy.
Miami 8-1, fourth on the odds board to win a Super Bowl this year. That Chiefs team is currently second. USC quarterback Caleb Williams, Michael, we talked about this briefly yesterday in an interview with the LA Times, said it'll be a, quote, game time decision whether or not he declares for the NFL draft, the deadline coming up on January 13th. News or noise, Michael? Come on.
Well, what that line tells me is it's not going to be a game time decision, because here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make it seem like unless he likes the team that's has the first pick in the draft, he's not coming out.
Does he not want to go to the Bears that badly?
That's the hidden message in that line there. You know, to be determined is game time is going to be, what's the order? I mean, what I think it's January, like the 20th, you have to declare one way or the other whether you're.
Yep.
Yeah. And so what's the season end? The 10th? So that's why it's a game time decision. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's all about how he feels like, is he going to want to go to the team? He's assuming he's the first pick overall in the draft.
Well,
you know, I'm sure everybody at USC is preparing for. You know, Matt Rhule said an interesting thing the other day about how it's, you know, 1-5 only gets you an average quarterback. 2 million gets you a good one. You know, USC, if they want to get a quarterback, they may need Caleb Williams' NIL money to get one.
Yeah, they need it back, that's for sure. But if I'm Caleb Williams, like, there are no guarantees for you beyond this year. Like, why would you risk going back to college and risking the big money opportunity that you're going to get when you are an odds-on projected number one overall pick this year, like top two at worst? It just seems like a ridiculous notion. I don't know why he would even put that out there.
I don't know why he would either, and especially considering that, you know, look, no matter where, whoever has the first pick in the draft, they're a bad team. That's why they have the first pick in the draft. I mean, you're not going into a perfect situation. It's like, when a guy gets a head coaching job in the NFL, you know, nobody's taken over. I mean, even the Chargers, you think, oh, they got Justin Herbert, it's perfect. No, it's not. There's a lot of things that can go wrong here.
And I understand that fit matters, but look at the Houston Texans, who are a bad team, and the situation they find themselves in now with C.J. Stroud being a perfect pair fit. It can go one way or another, like we're seeing with Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers, but he's not going to know that going in. Nobody anticipated that the Houston Texans were going to be on this run and be an over 500 team at this point in the season. So that's definitely noise to me. I think it's a silly thing to even put out there in a private interview. And for as much as I love the dynamic playmaking ability of Caleb Williams, he is a truly special and unique talent. I haven't liked the attitude, and I've been open about that. I don't like painting F this team on your fingernails. I don't like the not talking to media after a game.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a face of an NFL franchise, you're going to have to own up to when games don't go well. I don't know. Little things. We got plenty more to tackle here on the Lombardi Line. Don't go anywhere. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, with Michael and Stormy.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, everybody, welcome in to the Lombardi Line on a Wednesday. The show, as always, presented by DraftKings.
Wednesday.
And we're off to a bad start. Why do I even
Wednesday.
Bother saying the day when I do this to myself, Michael? It's Thursday. We got Thursday Night Football. Be better. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And this is the story of my life, Michael. I come in such well intentions every single day.
You're early today,
excited.
Too. You're early.
I know. I was ready to go, fully prepared. This is what I get. Anyways, we do have an awesome show on tap today. Like we always do on a Thursday,
yeah.
VSiN's own Mike Somich is going to join us coming up in about a half an hour. Professional handicapper, VSiN host of the Handle every weekend. He's going to give us his best bets for week 13 in the NFL. And Mike Palm, the final half hour of the program today, later on in hour two, VP of operations here at Circa Resort and Casino. We'll get the lowdown on all things Circa Million, Circa Survivor, things winding down, just 80 contestants left there. And of course, Palm's pressing three. But let's get into Thursday Night Football, Michael. Believe it or not, that is the day. We have the Dallas Cowboys, and they're looking to extend that 13-game home win streak against the Seattle Seahawks, and odds makers certainly seem to think that's going to be the case. They are up to a 9-point favorite now at home against Seattle.
Well, you know, and you can see why. When you go over these Dallas numbers and you look at the season and you look at what they've been able to accomplish. Now, I know this is going to surprise you because They have been so good offensively, and Kellen Moore's not calling plays. I know that we spent all offseason saying how it was going to be Mike McCarthy running the ball. It was going to be boring. You want me to go back and get all those tweets out, right? Let me give you some information here. They've scored 214 points in the first half. That's 19.4 points per game. They've allowed 8.9. Last year, the Eagles, which dominated this category and ran away from everybody, averaged 17.4 points per game and allowed 10. They're better in every area, right? They've been able to start fast, play from in front. They've been very good on first down, on third down, and they've been very good at getting that second quarter and really turning it around. They average 11.45 points in the second quarter alone, and they take control of the game. So you can see why this number has eked up a little bit, especially considering that in the last, since their bye week, they've outscored their opponents 38.6 to 17. They've been routes. So, yeah, they're playing really well. Seattle has not, because Seattle can't run the football, Stormy. Seattle is too one-dimensional. When you go study Seattle, they put too much on Geno Smith's plate. He's throwing the ball five more times per game this year than he did last year. They can't run the ball to the degree they did last year that they did last year to this year. When they gain over 100 yards, they're 4-0 on the ground. When they don't, they can't win.
And speaking to that, Kenneth Walker, their stud running back, expected to be out again today, dealing with that oblique injury. They've had their health issues up front. And Michael, we talk a lot on this program, especially recently when we're at this point in the season, about that sample size of the last 4 to 5 games or so. And these are two teams that, to your point, just seem like they're headed in different directions. Dallas has won 4 of their last 5, including 3 straight by 20 or more points. The lone loss in that time was that one score game to Philadelphia. They have 7 games this season where the margin of victory has been 20 or more points, 5 of those coming at home, which they are again here. And then Seattle in their most recent stretch, 1-3, could easily, though, be 0-4, eked out that win over the Commanders. Offense can't score more than 16 points. Seattle leads all of football as well in penalties per game over the last 3 weeks. So it seems like where you have this Dallas Cowboys team that is in their stride, they're dominating, taking on a Seattle Seahawks team that's banged up. Geno Smith, of course, dealing with an elbow issue. Pete Carroll said he's doing much, much better this week, night and day from what we saw a week ago, but still compromised. So facing that Dallas pass rush this week is going to be a little scary for him as well, if they can keep him upright or not.
Yeah, that's going to be the issue, right? And they got to be able to run the football with some level of success. They won't have Kenneth Walker. It sounds like he's not going to play. Charbonnet will play. But they got to take some of the pressure off of it. And what Dallas does such a good job of is putting pressure on the opposing offense to not run the ball, to play from behind, meaning they have to throw. And what can't be lost in this Cowboys season is Dak Prescott's play. I mean, he's played unbelievable. He has played unbelievable. He's 3.8 above in his percent of completion from last year. He's 2.2 lower in his interception percentage. He's slightly above in yards per attempt. He's thrown for 40 more yards per game this year. He already has 23 touchdown passes. He had 23 last year. So he's playing really well. When you look at his numbers, his on-target percentage, his accuracy, all have been great. And they start fast. That's been the difference. I mean, they come out and they're going to start fast. Their defense has played over 90 less plays than their offense, which is a complete game, which is exactly what McCarthy wanted to do when he took over the play calling.
Yeah, and give Mike McCarthy credit to your earlier point of how everybody wants to talk about how in Green Bay he had 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks and really skated by with them. And he's a good coach. I know we've got clock management issues, but he's proving this year, I think, that he deserves a lot of credit for the success. And Dak, of those 23 touchdowns, 17 of them, Michael, have come in the last 5 games. His touchdown interception ratio over this recent 5-game stretch, 17 touchdowns, just 2 interceptions. He's extending plays. He's looking downfield when he's getting out of the pocket in certain situations. He's getting first downs. He's been so much fun to watch, and I mean, has put himself now in the MVP conversation as well. I think the big question about Dallas, Michael, and maybe because of the recent sample size with Seattle, we can throw this out, but everybody across every platform today is talking about, can the Dallas Cowboys beat an over 500 team? And Seattle still meets that criteria despite their recent stretch.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it's, you know, Thursday night games are unpredictable. Here's what I do know is the Cowboys have not been winning because the other team has made mistakes, right? They forced 5 turnovers. They've committed 4. So they're only +1 in the turnover takeaway. Where Dallas has done a great job is converting third downs. And then unlike last year, remember at the end of the year when they were really iffy on making field goals, making extra points, making anything with their kicker? They have not missed a kick all year. Aubrey has not missed a kick. Now, he's only attempted 1 kick from the 40 to the 49, but he has not missed a kick all year. And you know, when you don't turn the ball over and you don't miss field goals, you're putting points up on the board, especially considering when you're one of the best third down teams in football and they rank #1 in scoring drives. When they get the ball, they're the best team in the National Football League in terms of scoring points on a drive.
So with that thought process, any feel for the total in this game? We know primetime unders have been a huge play, but this has actually been bet up from 45.5 to now 47.5. What do you think in terms of scoring overall for both sides?
I know the unders are always going to hit. I think Seattle will move the ball. The one thing I think that's different about the Cowboys when you study them is you can move the ball. They're a little like the 49ers. You know, the 49ers have given up over 60 first downs in the last 3 weeks, but they don't let you score on them. They're very stingy scoring on them. And it's a little bit the same thing with the Cowboys. I mean, they're very good at, they'll give you the yards, but they're not going to give you any points. They're actually 3rd in yards allowed. They're 4th in points allowed. So they're very good in that area. And I think to me, they don't rely on turnovers. They're 12th in the league in creating turnovers. They rely on stopping the opponent. They make it very challenging for you to throw the football effectively.
In terms of the NFC playoff picture, the Dallas Cowboys are obviously in that wild card spot because the Philadelphia Eagles are as dominant as they have been at 10-1, currently in the top seed position. Dallas at 5 and Seattle there, it's in the 6th spot at 6-5. Where does Dallas stack up in your mind in that group of NFC contenders with Philadelphia and San Francisco?
I think they're right there. Look, they're 1st and 5. They're 1st and 5 at the 6 against the Eagles. They got a chance to win that game. They couldn't close it out. The difference between the two teams is one team can close it out, the other team couldn't. I mean, they outgained the Eagles tremendously. They moved the ball up and down the field in that game. I mean, they put 406 yards on them. They held Philly to under 300 yards total. And you know, they turned it over one time. They just didn't play in the red zone. They didn't score that red zone. Their 23 points is the lowest amount of points they've scored since the bye week. I mean, they came back from the bye and they've scored. Now, the last 2 weeks, you know, they've been 33-45 against bad opponents. Granted, look, they've played Washington, Carolina, and the Giants after losing the Eagles. So you know they're going to get 3 wins in a row, but they've been impressive. I mean, they put 640 yards up on the Giants. I mean, that's just slightly less than what the Dolphins did to the Denver Broncos. So what, they were 720. We're talking about 80 yards.
Seattle, meanwhile, Michael, right there on the cusp. And this week at Dallas, next week at San Francisco, then they've got the Eagles. It does lighten up the last 3 games of the season, but you think they find themselves on the outside looking in?
Well, look, we've said this. They've got to be able to run the ball with some degree of success. They're 29th in rushing attempts. And it's not because they don't want to run the ball. It's because they can't. They've been 21st in yards per attempt. And so that becomes a real issue. That puts a lot of pressure on Geno. They really miss Walker. They really miss his ability to make people miss. Charbonnet's a good runner. But the other guy that has not played anywhere near where they need him to is DJ Metcalf. He's not having the same year he had last year. This year he's at 53% catch percentage. Last year he was at 63%. I think the injuries have affected their offense. And this offensive line, which lost 2 starting tackles to start the year, have a hard time. Abraham, they say, may go to tonight. Yeah. We're not sure. When you're starting Jason Peters, you know things are not going well at 41 years old.
And even Jason Peters had to leave the game last week dealing with a little bit of an injury as well. Seattle dropped 3 of their last 4 games. They're going to be underdogs in their next 3 as well. So it is not looking up right now for their playoff hopes. We're going to take a quick break here, our first timeout of the day. But when we return, there are a lot of headlines throughout the National Football League. we need to differentiate what is news and what is noise, what will impact things for us as bettors and what will not. We'll get into it in a moment. Stay with us right here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Juice Reel is a free betting intelligence app and tool that every bettor needs. Juice Reel links your betting accounts into one place, delivers in-depth analytics on your betting history, and so much more. At Juice Reel, you'll have access to the betting history of billions of other bets placed by all Juice Reel users. This in-depth betting analytics tool with billions of data points enables you to tail the winning bettors and fade the losers. Juice Reel's also developed an artificial intelligence bot using data from all Juice Reel bets. Robo Jackson is picking winners at a rate of 60% through more than 100 games. Find out for yourself, though. Download Juice Reel, juice like orange juice, Reel, R-E-E-L. Download the free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. It's free. Juice Reel, juice, R-E-E-L.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News? Or noise.
Let's do it. And we're starting out in New England, where Bailey Zappe and Malik Cunningham took snaps in the open portion of Patriots practice yesterday, while Mac Jones stood off to the side. Michael, according to The Athletic's Jeff Howe, Zappe's expected to start this Sunday against the Chargers. And according to the Boston Herald, a source in the building told the outlet, Mac Jones is spiraling. News or noise, Michael?
I think it's news. I mean, look, they have no choice but to play Bailey, even though, as everybody said, well, how bad can Bailey be? Can he be any worse? And the answer is no, he can't be any worse. You got to play him. They can't go back to Mac. After that performance in the Meadowlands was just, it was unbearable to watch live. It was worse to watch on the tape. I think there's no choice but to do this.
A 37 total QBR, third worst in the league, 12 interceptions, third worst in the league. Patriots as a team, too, have zero passing touchdowns and five interceptions over the last two games. And Michael, it seems like Mac's just been kind of, I don't know if broken is the right word, but like a broken player. You've talked about the disdain perhaps some of his teammates have in him, don't believe in him in the moment. But Zappe, to your point, hasn't been great on the field either. But is he just somebody that maybe the guys can rally around a little bit more? Because he seems to have an attitude too.
Yeah, I think to me that it's a lesser. Right now, Mac is so broken, there's no way you can go forward with it. It's funny because I went back and watched Mac a lot yesterday in 21 and trying to figure out, like, what is going on here? Like, how this trajectory that he's been on doesn't lend itself to most careers. Usually you start bad and get better. You don't start good and get worse, right? And it isn't because, you know, he was an option quarterback and they took the option away. I mean, he's always been a pocket passer. I think the number one thing when you watch the tape from 21, where he had Josh McDaniels and he was very overcoached, if you will. I don't mean that as a negative to Josh, but I think he was overcoached. He knew what he was doing. He was confident. This year, he's not confident. He plays with no poise and he's almost fearful of getting hit. And a lot of that happens to quarterbacks. They get hit too much and they don't want to get hit anymore. And I think that's what we see. And the first sign of trouble, he panics. He panicked against the Giants. He's panicked against the Colts. The first sign of different color jersey coming at him, he panics. He didn't do that. He did not do that in 21. He's doing it now. And I don't think Bill has any choice but to make the move that he had to make.
Benched in back-to-back games, four games overall this season, and it's been bad regardless, but I think amplified by the fact that the Patriots are used to having the best quarterback in the world on their side, so it is a stark contrast to that. Patriots, though, one of several teams in line for quarterback in the upcoming NFL draft. ESPN Analytics has the Patriots currently projected to the third overall pick behind the Bears and Cardinals. Huge game coming up in the NFC on Sunday, Michael. A rematch of last year's NFC Championship game between the Eagles and 49ers, and there's been some trash talk on both sides this week. Debo Samuel was asked if he regrets calling James Bradbury trash. He said he regrets nothing. Meanwhile, Hassan Reddick on the other end called out San Francisco for their what ifs. Quote, it was a lot of boo-hoos last year, a lot of crying, a lot of what ifs, a lot of this, a lot of that. They get a chance to come back here, line that bleep up and prove it again. News or noise?
No, it's news. I mean, it is news. These two teams, they know it. The Eagles don't feel they were lucky because they're the ones who got Brock Purdy hurt. And the 49ers are in that, you know, we just didn't have a chance because we lost our quarterback. And then we lost our backup quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, look, they know that the path to the Super Bowl is going to go through one of these cities, San Francisco or Philadelphia. And this will be, there will be a rematch. At some point, there's going to be another game. And it'll be good. It'll be fun to watch. The fascinating thing about this game is how do the 49ers attack this Eagle team, which we know has struggled with the secondary, has not been very good on third down, hasn't been able to cover very well. It's going to be fascinating. Most teams don't try to run the ball. Even though Buffalo ran for, I think, 170 yards against them, it was Josh Allen's 81 that made the difference. So we'll see what Kyle's got up his sleeve to keep his quarterback feeling protected. I think he'll move the ball well.
I know San Francisco's clearly motivated. This is a game that they've had circled since everything went down last year, but the Eagles probably have some bulletin board material and motivation of their own now, being the best team in the league on paper at 10-1, yet they are a 3-point dog at home against this team, people doubting them. Really, really excited for what's going to come up this Sunday in the afternoon. Speaking of Super Bowl contenders, Tyreek Hill thinks that Miami is one and actually called this year's Dolphins team better than the Chiefs team he won the Super Bowl with. He said, the way our head coach prepares us each and every week, man, it's next level. So it's a beautiful thing to see the way we practice, the way we play for one another. It's something I've never seen before in a team. I won a Super Bowl, and I feel like this is probably the better team than when we won a Super Bowl back when I was on KC. Andy Reid takes and stray bullets here. News or noise?
Well, I mean, I think it's noise because I don't think it's true. I think he kind of is saying stuff that's his opinion, and he's certainly entitled to it. I think this Chief team is nowhere near, his Miami team offensively. It seems like they're better than the Chief teams back when he played on them. I don't think that's the case. I think this Miami team, they've averaged about 20 points a game the last 5 weeks. I know they scored 31, 34 last week against the Jets, but let's be clear, that was two pick six in that game. This offense doesn't have the physicality that offense had when Tyreek won the Super Bowl in Kansas City. I will say the defense is better. Look, I think Miami has a chance to continue to grow and get into this and get into the finals, maybe even get to the Final Four. It's going to require them to play really well in bad weather, really well in cold weather, which they haven't had. We may get a little bit of rain, and there's going to be 10-mile-an-hour winds this week. We'll see how they handle that and how they play on the road. I mean, they have not been a great road team, Stormy.
Miami 8-1, fourth on the odds board to win a Super Bowl this year. That Chiefs team is currently second. USC quarterback Caleb Williams, Michael, we talked about this briefly yesterday in an interview with the LA Times, said it'll be a, quote, game time decision whether or not he declares for the NFL draft, the deadline coming up on January 13th. News or noise, Michael? Come on.
Well, what that line tells me is it's not going to be a game time decision because here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make it seem like unless he likes the team that's has the first pick in the draft, he's not coming out.
Does he not want to go to the Bears that badly?
That's the hidden message in that line there. You know, to be determined is game time is going to be, what's the order? I mean, what I think it's January, like the 20th, you have to declare one way or the other, whether you're,
yep.
Yeah. And so what's the season end? The 10th. So that's why it's a game time decision. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's all about how he feels like, is he going to want to go to the team? He's assuming he's the first pick overall in the draft. Well, you know, I'm sure everybody at USC is preparing for, you know, Matt Rhule said an interesting thing the other day about how it's, you know, 1-5 only gets you an average quarterback, 2 million gets you a good one. You know, USC, if they want to get a quarterback, they may need Caleb Williams' NIL money to get one.
Yeah, they need it back, that's for sure. But if I'm Caleb Williams, like, there are no guarantees for you beyond this year. Like, why would you risk going back to college and risking the big money opportunity that you're going to get when you are an odds-on projected number one overall pick this year? like top two at worst. It just seems like a ridiculous notion. I don't know why he would even put that out there.
I don't know why he would either. And especially considering that, you know, look, no matter where, whoever has the first pick in the draft, they're a bad team. That's why they have the first pick in the draft. I mean, you're not going into a perfect situation. It's like, when a guy gets a head coaching job in the NFL, you know, nobody's taken over. I mean, even the Chargers, you think, oh, they got Justin Herbert, it's perfect. No, it's not. There's a lot of things that can go wrong here.
And I understand that fit matters, but look at the Houston Texans, who are a bad team, and the situation they find themselves in now with C.J. Stroud being a perfect pair fit. It can go one way or another, like we're seeing with Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers, but he's not going to know that going in. Nobody anticipated that the Houston Texans were going to be on this run and be an over 500 team at this point in the season. So that's definitely noise to me. I think it's a silly thing to even put out there in a private interview. And for as much as I love the dynamic playmaking ability of Caleb Williams, he is a truly special and unique talent. I haven't liked the attitude, and I've been open about that. I don't like painting F this team on your fingernails. I don't like the not talking to media after a game.
Yeah.
You're going to be a face of an NFL franchise. You're going to have to own up to when games don't go well. I don't know. Little things. We got plenty more to tackle here on the Lombardi Line. Don't go anywhere. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, with Michael and Stormy.